Welcome to another podcast by Air Insight.
Today is November the 29th, 2017. This is Addison Schoenland, and my guest today is Daniel Snebjørnsen, who is VP Network Planning at WOW Air. Daniel, thank you so much for being on the call with me today.
My pleasure.
And we have a couple of questions we want to go through with you. Let's start off with WOW Air's growth to date has been quite remarkable. How much longer do you think this growth rate is sustainable?
I think we will continue to grow at a relatively fast rate in the short term. There is, of course, we have grown about 70% this year and probably grow about 25% next year. But there is, of course, limit. There is a threshold to that because, or ceiling to that growth, because the airport that we operate in and out of in Keflavík does have some capacity constraints during the peak hours, and so that sort of will limit our growth to a certain extent. But there, of course, there are space available during current off peak hours, so we will sort of try to flex the schedule so we'll be able to grow in those hours. But yeah, of course, math-wise, the rate of growth will sort of slow down in the future. We are not growing at 60-70% rate as we have been growing for the last two, three years.
That's interesting. Is the airport got any expansion plans?
Yeah, they do have, but it's not coming online until last time I heard 2020-2021 maybe earliest, and it might be phased in to some extent, but it's not coming in the next 2 to 3 years. So they need to do they have been doing a lot of work at the airport and done a lot of expansion, but it just not have been able to keep up with the growth in traffic, from both from us as well as Icelandair and other airlines in Keflavík. So they just need to do a big bang expansion next. So it will take time to sort of materialize.
Mm-hmm. So one of the markets that that has obviously attracted a lot of attention is the U.S. How many markets in the U.S. do you see offering more than one flight a day for you guys?
I don't think there's going to be many. I think, of course, the big markets like New York and maybe some of the East Coast markets like Boston, Washington might have more than one flight a day. But I think most of the markets will have one flight, I think, at least for now, the short term. Never say never, but we'll try to build up the market as they grow. And it also because we are operating a network, so it has an implication on the European growth, because if you're going to add another, unless you add it at the same time, the wing-to-wing service, unless then you would have to add more frequency into Europe, and that sort of have implications just of the whole network. So I think sort of for now we sort of try to go daily on most services that we have already, and the ones who are not yet daily will sort of gradually grow up to daily service. And then, from there we'll just, if there's some super performers, we will, might go beyond daily. Of course, we are going next summer on New York and Baltimore, going to more than two flights per day. Baltimore going from daily service to 11 a week, and then almost double daily on New York. So,
Obviously, the growth across the Atlantic has been in part driven by your 321 and, of course, the 330s that are coming. What do you see? What will the future look like? I mean, do the 321LR and the 330neo, does that have any potential for you to increase your reach across the North American continent?
I mean, with the current 330s, we can pretty much cover all destinations within North America itself. It's just a question of timing of flights. For example, San Diego is really much on the edge of our, just of how it fits into the network. So we can pretty much cover all destinations in North America now. I guess the 330neos will just give us that extra bit of efficiency, as well as they will have a better cabin and probably more optimized layout, so we will probably get some revenue potential upside from that. So they will not give us any more reach on the North America side. But they will, of course, give us some kind of more reach into Asia if we want to explore that market in the future.
Right. Of course, you guys are becoming like the Dubai of the Atlantic. So
yes.
You can connect just about everywhere to everywhere, which is really an amazing thing. So
yeah, it's a nice thing to have.
Right. It, a very different climate in Iceland than in Dubai, but okay.
Yes.
Any thoughts on why long-haul LCCs have worked so well, particularly, let's say, in the U.S. market?
I think it's, when you look at the sort of the macro trends, you could really see why they have been successful in the U.S. If you look at, for example, the yields for, don't have it for European airlines, but we certainly have the data for the U.S., their U.S. counterparts like American, United, and Delta, you see that the yields on the Atlantic have been rising much faster or faster than in the domestic market. So that's where the legacy carriers have been making their profits. And you could see it from investor relation material, for example, from Air France. They had an investor day a few months ago, and they showed the, although they didn't give the exact margins of the joint venture across the Atlantic, they showed you the sort of the bars or the columns chart, and you could see the improvement in margins that they experienced. So with consolidation in the U.S. and to a certain extent in Europe and of course the legacy guys have now been able to cooperate more across the Atlantic. That has meant reduced competition and higher fares for consumers, and so that allows low cost carriers to come in and sort of offer lower fares and stimulate the market.
Right. I mean, we saw the U.S. airline industry reaction and even some of the union reaction to Norwegian entering the market. You guys have been quite lucky. You haven't attracted the same kind of negative attention.
No, we are based everything out of Iceland, and we don't have any sort of, most of the labor has come from Iceland, but we of course had to source something from abroad just because of the population size of Iceland. So, we're not have this sort of lame issues or, people not been pointing to us because of the labor issues and that. So, we've sort of gone on the radar really so far, so good.
Right, right. So, of course, you now see that there's service to DFW right in the center of the U.S., and American is now coming into the market as a reaction. How long do you think before you expect to see more U.S. competition striking back? I mean, can they afford to match your business? You run it, I guess, at a lot lower cost.
Yeah, I mean, I think on like for like basis, they can't match us. But of course, they have the advantage of the premium cabins, first and business class, and all that jazz, and so they can use that to sort of help them to subsidize the economy, the losses they make in the economy. But we know our numbers, and we can sort of estimate what the numbers for the legacy guys are, and we certainly have a cost advantage when you compare like for like. And I don't think they able to match us. So we already seen a response from America, and they're coming head to head on Dallas, and of course United is starting service from Newark to Iceland. So and Delta has been here for a few years now already. So. And from the European side, BA is already here, Lufthansa is already here, so they already have responded in a way. And and then just in general, we could see that they've been more aggressive on the fair side of course the Atlantic.
So an obvious question, I guess, is as the network level carriers respond to you, do you need to consider revising your cabin layout to offer premium seating?
Yeah, it's something that we will definitely think about. And although we don't have a sort of, I don't think we will go all the way to like a lie flat full business class type of product like, for example, JetBlue has gone with. But we will probably think about sort of segmenting the cabin to get some kind of premium or a certain section of the cabin to get some revenue premium. Because across the Atlantic, it's definitely a big market. It's North Atlantic premium market is one of the biggest markets in the world, and it's high yielding. And based on the information that we see from the airlines where they sort of give information to investors, there's definitely a profits or revenue premiums to be had by sort of, let's say, getting some of that revenue to us as well.
So something that's a little different, though. Do you have any thoughts that you can share in terms of the cargo market across the North Atlantic?
Yeah, I mean, cargo is not big for us. It's not something that we do focus on heavily here in Vow. We sort of do outsource some of the activity to a company that is very close to us. But yeah, we do carry cargo on our flights, and we mostly though is to and from Iceland. Of course, there's famous in a way is the export of fish from Iceland. It's quite a big chunk of our cargo export is coming from the fishing industry that is being exported to both the US and Europe. But we also see imports of fresh fruits and other products and electronics to Iceland, especially after we introduced the 330s to into our fleet, because they have, of course, the palletized cargo,
right,
that sort of, exporters as well as importers have preference for that.
Right, right. And finally, a quick question in terms of, again, looking at your, your primary competitor, Norwegian. They have an interesting situation on the U.S. East Coast, Boston, Baltimore, New York, to the French Caribbean.
Yes.
Is there any idea or any thought at your company to try and copy that in the off season?
We've not gone into great detail of sort of gone all the way and sort of made any decision on it. We have, of course, we know aware of it and sort of looked at it from quite far away. And last time I checked the numbers, their load factors were not that great on these services. So questions whether maybe they pay for their variable cost and they will make some contribution in the off season. And the question is it a big enough market for two carriers to do the same thing and cover the variable cost of the service? So it's something we definitely think about in trying to find ways to sort of to utilize the fleet in the off season, because it's very heavily utilized in the summertime, but it's the utilization does drop a little bit down in the wintertime. So, but in terms of going from flying from the U.S. down to the Caribbean, it's nothing that we have thought about in great details.
Right. Thank you so much for the thanks for the call.
My pleasure.
This recording is copyrighted by Air Insight.